Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. This event happens not long after his baptism, and you begin to think, well, that wasn't much of a baptism party, was it? When people come here to have their children baptized, they go off and travel around or somewhere else. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. It was a moment in time which, in a sense, was to define once again who Jesus was. And his response to the devil's whisperings made clear two vital things for Jesus Christ. First was his absolute love for his Father in heaven, whatever the cost, and it would be costly. And so the Spirit led him into the desert to a life which began for him a life of suffering. That didn't define his life. It just happened to be a part of what he had to go through. Even, of course, to the cross itself. And I don't think he went kicking and screaming, but he went willingly out of love for his Heavenly Father. And secondly, of course, he went out in obedience to his Father's will. Those of you who are following the Lent book would have read yesterday from Isaiah 50. And it reveals God's will in the matters of suffering. It was the part of the plan for the Messiah's life, because that's what the prophecy in Isaiah is all about. Suffering, we find in the prophet Isaiah, can be faced with God's help and his presence in our lives. And Jesus was to find that out for himself. He in fact said, I set my face like flint. I'm going in this direction. Everything within every human being cries to turn around and go in the opposite direction by him. But this is my Father's will. But also that prophecy reveals something even more wonderful, that suffering is not the final verdict. It wasn't for the Messiah, our Messiah Jesus Christ, and it isn't for us either. So Jesus remained obedient to his Father's will. And he kept the devil's whisperings at bay, as we heard in that story I just read to you. And of course, he made that plea to the powerful, decisive, and wonderful Word of God. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Now of course, Jesus, as he went into the desert place, and began that first encounter, if you like, with the evil one, was able to stand up to the devil because of his understanding of who he was in God. He was God in flesh appearing, and he could make those claims. And he was able to stand on the Word of God. And that's a wonderful thing. How does this story resonate with us as we begin to think of our lives in Christ? How do we begin to respond to the temptations that come our way? We know that Jesus was tempted, yet he was without sin. How do we respond to all of that? So for us, the story, who we are in Christ as beloved sons and daughters of God, precious in his sight, and redeemed by the blood of the cross, that's what defines us. Not the sins that still tempt us. And sometimes we actually do give it. Because, as the hymn was we just sung reminds us, the first hymn we sang was those important words. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. I wonder if you understood that. When Jesus died on the cross, and when we decided to give our lives to him, he called us to follow him. That part of our life was dealt with. Yes, we still do make mistakes, and we still have to keep a clean slate before God. We still need to ask for his grace and forgiveness. But the truth is that we are righteous, well, our righteousness depends on the righteousness won for us upon the cross at Calvary. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. We need to grasp that and understand that. And live in that truth. It is a wonderful truth. So who we are in Christ is dependent on all the things that he are his beloved sons and daughters, precious in his sight, redeemed by his grace and his precious blood. And although Jesus went into the desert place and many times suffered throughout his life as people began to reject him, it didn't define his relationship with God or who he was at all. And it doesn't define us either. Our suffering does not define who we are. We are children of God. We do go through difficult and challenging times, but our relationship with Jesus actually goes much deeper than that. We will still hear the devil's whisperings in our ears because they come to those who believe in God. I'm not sure that when I was a teenager, growing up, enjoying life as I did before I knew Christ, that I heard any of the devil's whisperings, frankly. True, do we all, I think, are given some kind of conscience to live our lives by, but as Paul says in the letter to the Romans, sometimes our consciences can be seared. If we keep doing the wrong thing long enough, we lose the ability to discern what is right from wrong. And that's why you get all the atrocities happening in our world. But once we give our lives to Christ, then we are open to the devil's whisperings. But we're not defeated by them. We do not live in the defeat of what he says, the lies that he chooses to speak about us. And says, there you are, you've done it again, you're not a child of God at all. Just like everybody else. That's the lies. That's his whisperings. I never heard those at all before I came to know Jesus as my Savior. And I think that's an important and defining point in our Christian walk with God. We know that as soon as we begin that journey, actually, we begin to enter into that realm where the devil will whisper in our ear and say that we are unworthy before God. And it's a lie. It's a lie of Satan, actually, that he will try and trip us up on every step of our journey. But the truth is, we are set free because we have given our lives to him and recognized our need of him. And he will then help us through his Spirit within us and through the scriptures that we begin to assimilate into our being, we can understand for ourselves. We too, like Jesus, will take our stand. And actually stand up for the truth that Jesus loves us and he died for us to set us free. These are amazing truths. I don't stand here as one who deserves any of this, but like all of us, you stand here in the presence of God, who is known and loved by him, and he wants us to understand the importance of what he has done. So that even when suffering does knock on the door of our lives, as it does, we're able to get through that too, because he is present with us. And that's a wonderful truth. So it's not just the sin that he deals with, and we are righteous because of his righteousness. That's a wonderful thing. By his grace, I am set free, so are you. And that's a fantastic truth. But each and every step of our life in him, he walks with us. And he helps us through the challenges that come. And sometimes through the temptations that come, but the suffering that comes with it. We still do the things that we don't want to do, or not to do. But by his grace and his forgiveness, we can start afresh each and every day, because he loves us. And sometimes that suffering will take on a physical nature, and sometimes it will be through loss of loved ones. All kinds of things can happen to us in our lives, for which we need his presence. And by his grace, he is always present. Never leaves my side. Never leaves your side. These are things to rejoice about. Jesus got through the temptation in the wilderness because he knew who he was in God. God in flesh appeared. God was with him. The Spirit led him into the desert. And sometimes we're going to be led into the desert places too. We'd rather not be there. God is with us, and he is our strength and our fortress and our strong deliverer in whom we can and do trust. And so as we journey through Lent together, the next 5-6 weeks or so, and as we perhaps, those who are coming, have a think about the cross through the eyes of the, prophet Isaiah. Let us, if you do that at home, please do that. Have a think about it and pray about it. The precious nature of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you hear the devil's whispers this week, just say, I live because God lives in me. And I am His child. The devil will flee. Just believe that. And also call on Him when suffering comes. Call upon Him, for He is near. And He loves us.